First, tens of thousands of people have been protesting in Puerto Rico, calling on the territory's governor to resign. Governor Ricardo Rossello says he's staying in office, but in a Facebook Live video yesterday, he said he won't run for re-election after his current term ends. The announcement hasn't changed much for protesters who are in their second week of rallies, and some now in the Puerto Rican legislature are starting to talk about impeachment. Carlos Suarez Carrasquillo is a lecturer in political science and an affiliate faculty member of the Center for Latin American Studies at the University of Florida. Carlos, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me again.
Can you talk about why these protests got started?
The protests the thrust of the protests were a number of conversations that were the product of the governor and his most intimate circle, comprised of members of his cabinet or people who were former members of his government, who engaged in a number of conversations regarding statements of political rivals, homophobic, misogynistic, defamatory comments and against individuals, in particular the Puerto Rican press, etc. So that those leaks or that the publication of that chat on Telegram spurred this. But it's important to keep in mind that before this, the governor's administration was under significant duress because the former head of the Department of Education and the former point person who led the process of leading the healthcare provision on the island were accused recently by the FBI of corruption. So that came first, and then the revelation of the chats on Telegram.
Can you tell us about the scale of the protests we've seen so far?
The scale can be argued is unparalleled, for the following reasons. Not only the significant number of people who have taken it to the streets, but also the fact that you have significant mobilization, but also people who maybe in the past were unwilling to engage politically. And I say this because interviews by people on the island have literally said so. Either I never engaged politically or I voted for this governor, yet I want him out. So I would point to the scale, the people who comprise the protest, and to that you could also add the fact that they have not been led by the main traditional political players, meaning political parties, unions, etc. It has been quite organic, and to be fair, the artistic class, people who are performers, actors, etc., whether they live in Puerto Rico or outside of Puerto Rico, call to action. And also, I should note this, that has been quite visible. It has also featured segments of the Puerto Rican working class that call themselves as such, and many of them have mobilized by making use of motorcycles, and that also has been documented by media. So you have a number of not traditional players, the mass number of them, and what they're advocating for, that I would argue make this such a unique experience. And also that we have seen these protests for the past week to 10 days. Also, the staying power has been quite remarkable.
Talking to Carlos Suarez Carrasquillo from the University of Florida, looking at the more than a week now of protests in Puerto Rico. Carlos, you mentioned those leaked communications, the corruption charges. Is there also a baseline of anger in Puerto Rico over the slow recovery from Hurricane Maria?
This has been the culmination of a series of events. The inefficient way, or really the way that the recovery was led, was problematic, and these chats could potentially lead to what has been rumored for a long time, which is that sometimes the provision of services for the recovery was withheld for political considerations, or because they were looking to make a profit out of withholding some of this aid. And these are rumors now. But there are rumors that there are more chats that could be leaked in the coming days, weeks, that might point to this issue more directly. But at this point, that's a rumor.
What are protesters looking for now? The resignation, it sounds like, of Governor Rossello, for a start.
Yes, that would be step one. But also, there's a larger issue of people being fed up with a pattern of corruption. Not only that, but inefficiency in government. And also, some could argue what has been happening in the past decades, which is the percentage of Puerto Ricans who participate in elections has been decreasing by each turn. And what's interesting is that people who have been maybe not been willing to vote as they have in the past, yet are willing to engage politically through other means. And in this case, it's mass mobilization.
I've seen some arguments, some concerns from people who advocate for Puerto Rico who say all this attention on corruption there sometimes is used to legitimize more control coming from the U.S. Congress and the U.S. president rather than leaving solutions in the hands of the people of Puerto Rico. What do you make of that tension?
Yes. Some people were significantly concerned by an editorial that came out recently of one of the main newspapers in the U.S. that argued for greater deepening of the austerity measures that are supported by the fiscal board and by the U.S. Congress. Yes, that's certainly a concern. A lot of the people who have mobilized are aware that Governor Rosselló is part of the dynamic that has led the island to the situation, but also the austerity measures, and to be on the lookout that this might not give some justification to greater austerity policies. So yes, that's a significant component. People argue that addressing who is holding the office of governor is not enough, and that actually the structure of the austerity measures and the advisory board that is comprised of people that were not elected by Puerto Ricans, they were nominated by the Obama administration and the members of Congress at the time, should be either dismantled or certainly changed in some capacity. So yes, the concerns that mobilize people go well beyond Governor Rosselló, but he would be the first step of several steps to come in the eyes of many of the people who are taking it to the streets.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Carlos, the governor, Governor Rosselló, says he won't run again, but he's going to serve out his term. There is some talk of impeachment. Does that seem like a likely possible outcome?
It is possible, but the challenge is the following, that you have the House of Representatives and the Senate would need to have enough votes to get this done. And also, one thing that should be noted is that currently Puerto Rico does not have a secretary of the governor's office. It would be the second in command, if you will. So that position being vacant means that according to the Puerto Rican constitution, he would be the second person in charge, and that position is currently vacant. So that also makes this process more difficult. There's a debate of whether the governor wanted the second in the constitutional chain to be out on purpose to create a gridlock. And that's also part of the conversation.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Carlos Suarez Carrasquillo, political scientist with the Center for Latin American Studies at the University of Florida. Thanks to Carlos for joining us today. He was with us to talk about the massive street protests in Puerto Rico and the fate of Governor Ricardo Rosselló.